The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Kay Murray and Ali Moreno here with you. And let's start things off, shall we, with Argentina's game against Jamaica. Argentina with a 3-0 win on the night. Julian Alvarez with the opening goal. And then Messi came on as a substitute and scored two late goals in this one. It means he's got 90 goals now for Argentina, coming in 164 appearances. And look at that streak for the Argentine continuing. It's now at 35. They have not lost since July 2nd in 2019 at Brazil. And in terms of that record, they are closing in on Italy, holding their longest unbeaten streak in international football, which stands at 37. Let's now welcome in Shaka Hislop and Pablo Zabaleta, who is a very, very happy man right now, as you can see, smiling, looking all smug about Argentina's wonderful run so far. I tell you what, Pablo, Argentina are flying right now. In fact, they look way better than when you were there.
Okay. Great start, Kate. I have to admit that's true. Yeah, absolutely. They are flying. They're in a great form. Absolutely wonderful game against Jamaica and Honduras, of course. Two games that they've probably not been two very tough opponents, but at the end they won it, you know, very close to the World Cup. Always great to continue that run of games, you know, and keep winning, the confidence and all that. So, yeah, it's been great international break for Argentina.
Yeah, just a great run for Argentina in general, Ale, especially, again, another good performance from them last night, 3-0.
Well, here's the thing that we have seen from the big teams in this international break. Outside of Brazil and Argentina, everybody else is having some sort of struggle of some form. For Argentina, while it is true that it is Honduras and Jamaica, and make of that what you will, there was no stress. There was nothing about these games that you could say, oh, they're having a problem here, oh, they're having a problem there. No. Very clear about their plan, very clear about their execution, professional performances. They put away Honduras, they put away Jamaica, they score goals, they look good doing it, they're defending well. What else do you want? It is not the opponents that you would think, okay, are really going to push Argentina, but you play who's in front of you, and that competition, what I think is good about Argentina is that they didn't go down to that level. No, they kept their level, they played well, and they did their job. Argentina must be feeling very confident about their ability to play this game and their ability to score goals and their ability to defend. And they, in my mind right now, are the only team, based on the evidence that we have seen so far, that could potentially challenge Brazil. Everybody else, second best. Brazil and Argentina right now at the very best in terms of international football.
Yeah, and Lionel Messi, as we just saw there, another two goals for him. It's 9 goals in his last 3, Pablo, and he's 35. It's incredible stuff from him. We're just taking a look at his stats here. 15 goals in 14 games and 8 assists. Just stunning stuff from him, Pablo.
Yes, unbelievable. Hopefully he can play another 5-6 years because he's in a great form and it's great to see Messi joining his football at the age of 35. You know, it's been some tough period for Messi in Argentina. We all know this when we lost 3 consecutive finals a few years ago. It's been hard for Messi, but now, you know, he won the Copa America in Brazil. He looks, you know, such a confidence, playing well, you know, really enjoying his time in the national team, leading the team as well with the new players coming into the team as well. So that's great to see. And probably we say many times that is maybe Qatar is the last World Cup for Messi. So he won everything with Barcelona. He's playing well with PSG, winning trophy as well. He won Copa America in Brazil, but of course the World Cup is probably the main one for Messi at the moment.
We're not sure if you saw the show last week, Pablo, because Shaq is fantastic at putting together top fives mm-hmm. and power rankings.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he put together his top five players of all time. Shaka, just before we get Pablo's reaction, would you like to remind us on how you put this together and where Lionel Messi is?
Well, Lionel Messi stays...
Come on.
I guess the Messi fans, that's languishing in four. But I've made the point time and time again when you've got the likes of Pele, three World Cups, Ronaldo, Brazilian Ronaldo, two, and Maradona, one, and the final. It's hard to make an argument without at least winning a World Cup. To people like me, who continue to believe and will continue to say that the World Cup is the highest level of football. So as good as Lionel Messi has been, as close as he has come to winning a World Cup, he just hasn't bridged that gap just yet.
Pablo, your thoughts?
Messi doesn't need to win a World Cup to be the best. Come on, Chaka. Come on.
I was just saying that listen, for all that he's done at club level, I continue to believe that international football is another step up. Others disagree. I'm sorry, I don't buy that argument. I feel international football is the highest level of the game. And so to be regarded as the best ever, we're not talking about the best of a generation. We're not talking about the best right now. We're talking about the best ever. Given all the changes to domestic football, whether we've been talking about league competition and the imbalance that money has brought, or the changes to the Champions League, I feel when you're comparing players of different generations, of different eras, you go to what is the highest standard of the game, and that is the World Cup. And for those above him, they have, in two cases at least, more than one World Cup win between them. I'm sorry, you just need to have that on your mind.
I have a quick question for Pablo, because Pablo was saying you don't need to win the World Cup to be the best, right? So does that mean that Pablo is insinuating that in his list he would have Messi above Maradona? Is this what he's saying?
Probably yes, Ale. I would say... Football was different in the 80s or 90s. For me, Messi is slightly better than Maradona. But I know probably if you ask my dad, he will say Maradona was the best. I know because I play with Messi or I'm a friend of him or something like that. But I think what I have seen from Messi doing for 10, 15 years... And he's still producing some great moment of football at the age of 35. That is, fantastic. So that's why I know Maradona was a genius. He was, we're still watching clips of Maradona. We would do for so many years. But I think what Messi has done in 15 years is simply amazing.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? The comment there about the generational differences between those that think of Maradona as a god and those that now grew up with Messi, or in the case of Pablo, play with Messi, that difference still remains in Argentina. Mm. And the only way that difference is gapped, or you close it, or you close that space, is by Messi winning a World Cup. Because those people that believe of Maradona as a deity, they're not going to change their minds up until Messi wins that World Cup.
But people would be saying something different if 2014 just went a little bit differently in Brazil. Pablo, I just wanted to ask you, does it annoy you when you hear people like Shaka saying that you have to win a World Cup to be considered the greatest of all time?
Yeah, but it's so difficult to win a World Cup. It is every 4 years you have to... You need a bit of luck to be in a team that is good enough to win the World Cup. And as you say, Kay, we've been very close in 2014. It's hard to, when you see people saying, no, Messi to become the best or be above Maradona, should have won the World Cup or have to win a World Cup or something like that. I know Maradona brought so much joy to Argentinian people, especially in Mexico 86. I was 1 year old, but you know, those goals against England, winning the World Cup in Mexico. I know we all love Maradona. He's been one of the greatest. But I think what Messi, as I said before, what he's been doing for 15 years now at the club level, international level, he won Copa America, World Cup final. Okay, hopefully that's the year for Messi to win the World Cup in Qatar. But for me, as I said before, he doesn't need to win the World Cup to be the best.
Pablo's in pain. Having this conversation, I can sense the pain. I can sense the level of discomfort. He's going back to 2014 still, and he's thinking about that final. He's thinking about that final. What could have gone differently?
Ale,
what could I have done to provide this for Lionel Messi?
I have seen Messi cry so much after the World Cup, and then when we lost to Chile in Copa America. Believe me, he was in tears, and it was so painful to see one of the greatest players, you know, feeling like that. It's been tough for everyone, but if you see when Argentina won the Copa America in Brazil, after the final whistle, everyone ran to Messi, and he tells you exactly what everyone feels about him. You know, we love him. We always want the best for Messi. He came to Spain when he was really young, but he always was, you know, it was his dream to play for Argentina. And since the first day he came to, I remember he was in under 20. And from the first day, he was really happy to be there. So that's why, you know, every time I talk about this, I feel like, come on, Messi, please. Argentina to win the World Cup. No, just because for the Argentinian people, but just because for Messi as well.
Do you know what? That's incredible to hear that, though, because Pablo, obviously you guys, the other Argentine players, were hurting so much, but it still hurt you all to see Messi upset like this.
Yes, of course, because he won everything with Barcelona. He's been very successful at the club levels. And even now at PSG, he's also playing well. He wants to win the Champions League. He's showing so much commitment at PSG. He's a winner, and he's one of the best players in the world. So always winner doesn't accept, you know, defeat. He always won the best for the team. They always very demanding with the teammates. And Messi always been like that with everyone. So when you see your best player of the team and one of the best players in the world, you know, being that good with the teammates and demanding everything from everyone at the team, of course, you always want the best for him. Simple as that.
You know what I heard there? I heard, this is pretty much, I'm just reading between the lines here. It was Pablo's fault. It's Pablo's fault. That's what I heard there.
Don't listen to him, Pablo. Listen, maybe you'll all be crying tears of joy this winter. Yes.
Okay.
It might just be tears of joy this winter.
Oh, yes.
Messi as well.
Could potentially
That's what they're all hoping. I mean, it's looking that way right now. They are looking good at Argentina. Pablo, Xhaka and Ale are on the latest edition of Extra Time. You can catch that over on our YouTube page. Every single Extra Time is there. Make sure to subscribe. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's time for Shaka's power rankings. Now, you'll remember that last week he had Argentina as number one in his World Cup power rankings.
Yeah.
We've let him reassess things.
Okay.
There have been many more games. Here's his latest edition of the World Cup power rankings. Shaka, we'll let you talk us through them, starting with number 10, Senegal.
I'm keeping Senegal in a 10, despite my concerns last week. Draw with Iran. I feel as a team they're faring better than some of their star players are showing form-wise for their clubs. Portugal, I remember them this week.
Did you get invited to Portugal on holiday?
No, I did not. I've heard that the invitation is in the post, and despite that loss against Spain, I thought they showed enough for me to remember them this week.
Oh, boy.
Denmark. I still like Denmark. I think they're a team that continues to punch above their weight, greater than some of their parts, understandably at 8. Belgium, 7. I just wonder if that golden generation, their time is coming to an end. Germany, I'm a little uncertain of. This is the part where I think countries promise more but deliver little. Same for Netherlands. I just can't help but wonder how they will fare going into this tournament, though they've shown good form over this latest window. As of Spain, I mentioned that win against Portugal, getting the job done under Luis Enrique, only just. France, a loss last time out, but certainly as far as the European nations go, I feel they're the strongest and will prove the biggest test. The top two, Brazil, who have had by far the best international window, but I still see them as second. My top team remains Argentina. After that convincing, emphatic win against Jamaica, it's less about that than about Argentina winning the Copa America and showing themselves to be far better than they showed some 4 years ago. I think Argentina, for me, are the team that wins it all, Pablo.
So Pablo's happy with that. You can't help but wonder about a
happy
few teams you've put
well
in there.
Shaka, yes.
Yeah. You can't help
it.
But wonder about Netherlands. You can't help but wonder about Germany. You're not that sure. But you've just dropped England out. Even though they're up there among the joint third favourites behind France and Brazil, Shaka.
Yeah, so while I have some concern around Germany, the Dutch, and even the French, I'm not at all uncertain about England. I know what England are coming with. We saw it. Everybody saw England. And if you saw England over this recent transfer window and you're still on the fence, well, I'm sorry. England were awful. I'm not sure how it gets any better, Kate.
I bet they wish they did have a transfer window.
Yeah, so they were bad in the transfer window and then post-transfer window.
International window. I didn't mean international window. Sorry about that.
Can we get some of those Argentine and Brazilian players in Gareth Southgate's side in the transfer window?
Also, the reasoning for Shaka, it's quite interesting. So he forgot about Portugal last week.
Yes.
Full disclosure, he forgot, right?
Just forgot.
So then, because, well, you know, if you're doing power rankings, you're supposed to know the teams. But, you know, I'm being a stickler for details here.
Details.
But here's the thing. Just because you forgot Portugal doesn't mean that you have to include Portugal in the power rankings. Because, as Shaka just mentioned, they just lost to Spain. So a team that you forgot and then lost, then you decide what the best solution, I'm going to include them in the power rankings. Go on, Shaka.
Listen, I was honest about their exclusion. And then, even though they lost against Spain, England were there. England couldn't be in the top 10. And then it becomes... And then you start looking around as to who's gonna be in there, who's also gonna, who can fill that void. And honestly, even though they lost to Spain, a team who are also in the top 10, there's nobody else. Nobody else from CONMEBOL, nobody else from Europe. Nobody is putting up much of a fist, much of an argument to be in that top 10. So Portugal, by virtue of their invitation to visit, which is still in the post, they're in.
So you've made Pablo happy with that one. Pablo, Brazil remaining second in Xhaka's power rankings here. But as he did say, it's been a wonderful window for them. You've seen the likes of Vinny on fire. Neymar is flying for club and country right now. How would you even go about stopping this side?
Well, they have so much quality up front. At the moment, Richarlison, Neymar, Rafinha, they're all great players in a great form, playing regular football at their clubs. And you know, Brazilian, that's the way they like to play, dancing, as you can see. Paquetá playing for West Ham now. No, they are serious contenders for the World Cup. And when Brazil, I always say, when Brazil are enjoying it, be careful, you know, because that's the best way when they can express themselves playing football. When they're happy, when they play with no pressure, and I think the form at the moment of that Brazilian team are fantastic.
Well, just while we are on this game, we have to show you some very unfortunate scenes in that game against Tunisia, Brazil winning it 5-1. Prior to the game, the Brazilian national team lined up with the stars on their training kits covered over. And this was a statement to show that without black players, they wouldn't have any stars at all on their jersey. What then followed in this game was a banana being thrown at Richarlison, among other objects thrown onto the pitch. We're just seeing those scenes here. Now, after the match, Richarlison put out a tweet to talk about what happened. And he said, as long as they stay and don't punish this, it will continue like this. It will keep happening every day and everywhere. Xhaka, this cannot be argued because here we go again. Sorry, this cannot be ignored.
We keep having the same conversation around racism in this sport. What can, or seemingly the argument is, cannot be done in policing this. And for me, as long as that continues to be a debate, as long as there isn't action that follows it up, we just invite further and further incidents such as this. And Richarlison is absolutely right in what he says. And now it becomes an act of passing of responsibility. And the truth is, we have CONMEBOL, we have CAF playing a game in France and under a UEFA nation. Assumingly, FIFA oversees all of this. And everybody will be very quick to pass the buck, pass any kind of responsibility. Now, it's come from the Tunisian fans. The French authorities certainly would take priority in policing this, action, and finding who's responsible. And if you can't, passing down that punishment. FIFA has to take this on themselves. They cannot allow this buck to continue to be passed. This is on their watch, and while I continue to be critical of their inaction, I say that only to say that they invite more like this. And until FIFA takes some kind of action, meaningful action, and they have the tools to do it, let's not say that they don't. It's Tunisian football. They can go after the Tunisian FA. Every single member association under FIFA's umbrella gets a dispensation from FIFA to run their game. Something can be done. Whether some of that funding is diverted to anti-racism education within FIFA, whether you talk about closing of stands for Tunisia's next home game, whatever it may be, they need to take meaningful action to protect the integrity of this game. Because so far they haven't. And the longer that they continue to seemingly just provide lip action to this, it will continue and we'll keep having these discussions.
Okay. Well, Richarlison will be in action. with Spurs at the weekend as the Premier League does return. It's the North London Derby there in action against Arsenal. Some big games coming up with the return of the Premier League, including the Manchester Derby as well. And we'll get to see Graham Potter's first game in the Premier League as a Chelsea manager. They take on Crystal Palace. It turns to your calendars. Round 7 coming up this weekend, kicking off on Friday with Athletic against Almeria. On Saturday, you've got Sevilla taking on Atleti Mallorca against Barcelona as well. Coverage for that game begins at 2:30 Eastern. Same with Real Madrid against Osasuna on Sunday. Bad news for Real Madrid. Kind of bad news, it's a little bit better than they initially thought, is that Luka Modric will be out injured for a little bit of time. 10 days, it looks like, a muscle overload for him. And the good news is Karim Benzema is back in training. He hadn't played since that knee injury that he picked up against Celtic in the Champions League at Celtic Park back on September 6th. So good things for them. Not such a good situation for Barcelona right now. Look at the FIFA virus hitting them hard. All of these players picking up an injury, and you can see how long some of them are, like Ronald Araujo, 10 to 12 weeks out. Memphis, Jules Koundé, Héctor Bellerín, the latest of them, he picked up an injury in Barcelona's training session as they have all returned to action after being on international duty. So let's now welcome in Gemma Soler. Pablo Zabaleta is still with us. Gemma, you're at this Mallorca-Barcelona game. What a crazy situation this is. The FIFA virus hurting Barcelona in this recent window.
Oh, okay. Yeah, definitely. It's such a huge setback for Barcelona. Just before the international break, we were saying that it was the best start for Barcelona, injuries related. They didn't have any injury, and now all six came at the same time. And we are talking about a key month because Barcelona will be playing for their future in the Champions League and La Liga as well, because there is a six-pointer in El Clásico, just 3 weeks to go, and so many important points this next game against Mallorca, and the problem is in the defense, because three of the injuries are starters at the defense, and we're talking that they don't have any natural right fullback, and so Xavi has a lot to think on and a lot to invent. We're also talking about one Ronald Araujo, who he was invented like the anti-Vinicius plan for the El Clásico. So it's a huge setback. Last year, this same situation would have been a drama, but this year Barcelona has enough squad to be able to compete in those games, even though it's such a huge setback. But he has more options. He has Gerard Piqué, who hasn't been competing that much, but now he will be having the captain his chance. We have Christensen, Eric Garcia, Marcos Alonso, Jordi Alba, Sergio Roberto. He's having some discomfort. He might be able to travel to Mallorca and maybe have some minutes. And Xavi has Balde as well in the defense. So it should be okay to compete. But of course, playing against Inter de Milan, Bayern, El Clásico or Mallorca would be much more difficult for Barça.
It's not an ideal situation, is it, Pablo, when you have had the good start, like Gemma was saying, and then international week comes and all the players are dropping?
Well, that's why always managers hate international breaks, because they all know that at some point they can lose players. And for Xavi, losing that amount of players, of course, is a disaster. But, well, they have to be positive, optimistic. Some of them will be out for 3-4 weeks, which is, of course, long time. Araujo probably got the worst injury. Hopefully he's okay for the World Cup. Some of them being regular started for Barcelona. But the squad depth is big for Barcelona this season. That's why they've been investing so much money in the summer to try to have a big squad. We'll see if Xavi, how he will, who will select for that back four on midfield. But they still have, especially at this stage of the season where they have some important games coming up, Champions League, by Clásico as well, is a big blow for Barcelona, yes.
Is it going to be all right, LA?
They're going to be okay against Mallorca. Beyond that, you have to question how good Barcelona will potentially be in key matchups, and Gemma was mentioning Inter and how season defining that could potentially be, those two games back to back against Inter, and how Barcelona has pushed all the chips in. They bet everything for this season, and part of betting everything for this season is making a deep run in Champions League. Now imagine a scenario in which your performances are affected because of these injuries, and now you're not able to advance out of the group stage in Champions League, and all of this becomes a failure. Now, of all those players in that list, the one that concerns me the most because of a history of injuries in the past is Ousmane Dembele. And while it says 1 week, calf, we're just looking at him, hey, this is precautionary, there's a history there. And so I would be incredibly careful with Ousmane Dembele. And I would say to him, Ousmane, we are not going to take any chances whatsoever, because your game is based on that speed, on that explosion. And if in any way, shape or form, you are hindered by this calf injury and somehow we're risking the future, your future, this season for our club, and potentially our success in a competition like Champions League, we're not gonna take any chances. So I would treat the injury of Ousmane Dembele with a whole lot of care as compared to the other players there. I would say, this guy's, we're gonna take care of. Dembele, we're gonna love you, baby. We're gonna take care of you, we're gonna massage you, we're gonna make sure that you're okay, because your history of injuries would suggest that you need to be taken care of and spoiled for the next few weeks, if need be.
Okay, well, let's push on, shall we, while we are in Spain, and talk about the Spanish national team. Just a reminder, when it does come to the Nations League, where they are sitting in League A Group 2, they are top of the pile. Group winners there. Beat Portugal as well, 1-0 in their last game. But Luis Enrique has hit out at some of his critics. He's taken to Twitter to say, just to put things into context, and he's given a grid and shown Nations League, where they finished, Euro 2020, classification for the World Cup, and Nations League 2022. Gemma, why has he done this?
Yes, because believe it or not, Luis Enrique is not a very popular coach in Spain, especially between the press, but also for supporters. They don't agree with the way he plays. They don't agree with the players he picks. They don't agree that he's picking a few players from Real Madrid. There's always some reason to complain and to criticize Luis Enrique. And this criticism was especially hard after that defeat against Switzerland, just before a capital game like the one in Portugal. They were playing to be in another Nations League Final Four. So I think today he felt some kind of relief and he sent that. I don't think it was the best thing to do for Luis Enrique, but he has this kind of character. You know, when he joined Barcelona as a coach, he informed us he hired a psychologist, Joaquin Valdés, who later became a key piece. He's the psychologist now in Spain. So the role of Joaquin Valdés was to control the beast, especially when he was in the press conference room. He was always there on the back. And when Luis Enrique was going too excited, Joaquin was like, don't do it. I think today Joaquin Valdés was off duty, and that's why Luis Enrique, after suffering so much and managing to put a Spanish national team for the second time in a row into the Nations League final, I think he exploded and he just decided to put things in context and to show that they haven't been doing so much lately comparing to the rest of the big national teams.
Pablo, we saw you smiling when you saw Luis Enrique's tweet there.
No, because I was imagining Luis Enrique on the plane on his laptop going on the PowerPoint and doing this, you know, and it's that, you know, as Chima was saying, when you see Luis Enrique in the press conference, sometimes he's a little bit spicy, you know, in his answer to the media and all that. But I don't know, no reason why he's done that. You know, as a coach or as a player, you know that at some point you will get criticisms from the media, but I think you always need to be proud, and we all know what you have to do. But yeah, he's a bit like that, you know. he got that strong character sometimes. And yeah, probably as the gym would say, he's the guy who was next to him probably was he was on his day off, and then he just went on his social media and just posted that. Yeah.
All green for Spain. Ah. The only ones with all green.
Ah, I see. It's the same person that is running the spreadsheet for Antoine Griezmann's minutes. Is this who's doing this? Look, if you're Luis Enrique and you have your critics, okay. Do you think your critics are going to see this tweet and say, oh, see, Luis Enrique, you were right. You were right. Hey, forgive us. Perdónanos. Perdóname. Huh? My mistake, my bad, Luis Enrique. Now I'm not going to criticize you. Are you kidding me? This makes the target even bigger. Because now these people that have been critical of you, now they're just waiting. They're just like, come on, baby. Come on, Luis Enrique. Make the wrong decision and here we go. And they're all going to pile up. There's nothing to gain in poking the beast. There is nothing to gain in going after the media when you know that they're already questioning you as it is. Even with good results, they're still questioning you. So why? You know what? The media is, they're there every day. And every day they can write an article about you. Are you going to go every day and you're going to say, we're doing well. We're doing well. Look at my graphics. Look at my pie chart. Look at this bar chart. This one is even better.
He's just saying, just to put it into context.
Yeah, okay. Because that's how it works, right? No. These people that have been critical of Luis Enrique will only hang on to this. And they're only waiting for the next wrong decision, the perceived wrong decision. And they're going to get after him again. There are not enough pie charts to control whatever people may think of you out in the media or out in the public. So if you're not going to control it, why even bother?
Well, the big story when it comes to the national team right now is the Spanish women's national team. If you take a look at the front cover of Diario AS, rebellion, players resigning because Jorge Vilda remains in charge here. The Spanish FA pushing back on everything we've seen here. Gemma, this is a very dramatic situation that we're witnessing.
Yeah, and I need to put some context here, like Luis Enrique. Let's explain why this is happening. It's 2015. No one cares about women football in Spain. There was another kind of rebellion, and former coach Ignacio Quereda was sacked. He was accused of verbal abuse, and he was later proved that he was verbally abusing of that players. Then Jorge Vilda, the actual, the now coach, he steps in. He's a young coach. There was such a need of fresh air. He has no recognition. He has never trained before. He was just the assistant of his father, Angel Vilda, who also was a coach there. So he did good at the beginning because he put some fresh air, he changed the methods, and this was this growing interest in women's football in Spain. What happened 7 years later? The women's football has grown so much in Spain. Spain has the best players in the world, including Alexia Putellas, probably the next best player, Aitana Bonmatí, and so much talents. In 7 years, they haven't won anything. And these players, 1 month ago, they complained that they don't like how their injuries are being treated. They don't like the way they train. They feel they learn anything. So they try to talk to both the coach and the president of the Spanish Federation, Luis Rubiales, who appoints the coach. They felt they were not heard. There was a press conference and the players couldn't almost talk. So now, 6 days ago, they decided to send to these emails to the Federation saying that they are psychologically affected and they need something to happen. Otherwise, they cannot go to the selection. It's not true that they have resigned. That's not true. That's something the Federation said, and this is not true. So they felt so exposed because the Federation decided to expose the private emails, the names of these 15 players. And now the national team is such a big mess. What is going to happen, honestly, I don't know, because if we look at the precedents, Luis Rubiales is the same president who 3 days before a World Cup, decided to change the men's national coach, Julen Lopetegui, because he took a job in Real Madrid. So it's such a complicated situation. And there is an international break in a couple of weeks. Spain actually has to play against the U.S. And by now, I was checking on the news because it's been 6 days and we have no more news. The Spanish Committee for Sport, they said they will intercede. There's no update on that. And I could only see on the Spanish press that they were talking of who could be the substitute of these 15 players. They were making a list on the rest of good Spanish players. It's a crazy situation. I don't like to compare with men because it's years and years ahead. But this would definitely never happen in a men's national team, and the situation is really, really complex, and I don't think there could be an easy solution of both parts sitting and talking.
Yeah, the Federation obviously saying it's an unprecedented situation as well. Make sure to stay up to date with all the biggest stories from the world of men's and women's football over on our YouTube page. While you are there, you can subscribe to stay up to date.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No goals scored in either of the two friendlies in this recent round of action for the US men's national team. In fact, this year, in seven games against teams going to the World Cup, they've only won one. They've had three draws and three losses. After their scoreless draw with Saudi Arabia, this is what their coach Greg Berhalter had to say about their performance on the night.
I think it was a positive step for the group. The intensity, the desire, against a tough opponent, a compact opponent, happy with that. Not happy, I think, with the execution. And I think it comes down to a little bit of tightness, a little bit of lack of confidence, and anxiety. And I told the guys, I feel for them. It's a difficult situation to be in. Everyone's fighting for roster spots. And, instead of coming out and really performing like the team we know we are, we lacked a little confidence, and that I think that hurt performance. You saw some of the thinking almost on the field today, and we want to take that out of them. We want them to just play, and play with that aggression and that intensity and the speed that we know they can. There's not many players that performed up to their normal levels in this camp, and that's just how it is. You can ask me about the center backs, the fullbacks, the forwards, the mid, anyone you want to ask. I'd say we are below our normal levels. I think we got some clarity. We talked about it today with the group and with the coaching group. And, I think things became pretty clear.
What became clear to you?
Things.
Things, Shaka. Stop thinking, start playing. Simple.
I have to admit, that was painful to watch. So I can imagine from Bearholder's perspective, how difficult it must have been. You're trying to say something positive. You start by saying, well, we got a good result against a difficult opponent. I'm happy about that. But then he's not happy about the execution, the intensity, the level of confidence. He's not happy about any position on the park, and rightly so. So I'm not exactly sure what he is happy about. And given that this is the last international window before the World Cup in a difficult group, I'm not sure where he turns. So I understand the concern of so many US fans, because watching that game, I have to say, it really was poor. And you don't know where those solutions come. You, there aren't many injuries you can point to change things in any manner. Probably the only thing I can talk about is Weston McKennie. At least he was involved. But we are talking about a US team months or weeks away from a World Cup. And the best we can say about them is Weston McKennie was getting involved. That's a tough place to be.
You know who wasn't getting involved? Jordan Pefor.
Oh.
Because he has been getting involved in scoring goals and goal contributions for Union Berlin, who are top of the Bundesliga, might I add.
Oh, really?
In Europe. But he wasn't even in the squad, Ale. Should he have been at least in the squad?
Unless Greg Berhalter has already made up his mind that Jordan Pefor is going to be in the World Cup and he didn't need to see him any further. But assuming that that's not the case, then of course you want to see this player. And this is the moment to do so. He is the only striker among those that are candidates to play the position who's playing consistently and scoring in a European top five league, mind you, Union Berlin, currently, as you just mentioned, first in the Bundesliga. Not only is he playing, but he's scoring. You know who's not scoring? The rest of the guys, right? There. And so if you're short in a position and you have a guy that is hot right now, guess what he is high on? Confidence! Confidence! The thing that you're talking about that this team is low on, this guy right now is flying high. And yet, he's a guy that is not involved. That part, I do not understand.
Okay, well, that is how things are going right now for the US. And you can see Jordan Pefor in action with Union Berlin as the Bundesliga returns. It all gets underway, though, on Friday. It's a big one. It's Bayern Munich taking on Bayer Leverkusen. Ali and I will be here for that.
Yeah.
And yes, Union Berlin are in action on Saturday against Eintracht Frankfurt. All of these games, including Cologne against Borussia Dortmund, are available on ESPN+. The Premier League is back this weekend and it is back with a bang. It brings us the Manchester Derby on Sunday. It's second place Manchester City taking on fifth place Manchester United. Pablo Zabaleta is back. Xhaka is still here. Fair to say you've played in a few of these, Pablo.
Yeah, what a great game that is. Derby always are specials. You know, I wish I was there because the atmosphere always around Manchester has been incredible. Such an important game, you know, like always derby you play with such, you know, very intense and passionate and the drama and the action and the fans that are always very excited and you want to see the fans celebrating at the end of the game. So, yeah, really looking forward to the derby this weekend.
I'd really like to see Pablo's record, actually.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a second. I wasn't ready for that. This is something else. This is next level. Hello. Hello.
Pablo, can you explain this photograph before we talk about your record?
That's not good enough. Nah, that picture, please. No, that is probably back in 2008. That is quite old picture. I like that, please.
I thought that was 1978. Never mind 2008. I thought that was 78, surely.
Why don't you say like that when you're on the show, Pablo? I mean,
Work that camera. Yeah, talk to the camera, Pablo. Talk to it. Oh,
goodness. Pablo, why?
Oh my God,
you seem so relaxed
bad.
Now, but
that's
this is
really bad.
Oh no, it's great.
Did you do the rips in the jeans yourself, or did you
that's
fall off the skateboard?
That's embarrassing, please, lads. That's absolutely embarrassing.
Hey, can you give us a little bit? Can you give us a little bit of that picture now, Pablo?
No, please don't.
Work that camera again, Pablo.
All days.
And Pablo, I mean, our eyes were drawn to that.
It doesn't matter, Shaq.
We couldn't even see the stats because we were just stunned by that wonderful picture of Pablo there. It was 16 games in all competitions. Even if you do say so yourself. Which one stands out to you, Pablo? Which of those games, which one do you remember most in the derbies?
Well, the one that we beat Man United 6-1 at Old Trafford, that obviously is the... I wasn't on the bench, I was not playing, but believe me, it was a great game. I think that was the moment that we changed the dynamic of the Manchester derbies. I will never forget that game. It was absolutely fantastic watching Man United fans at the end of the game. They couldn't believe it. They just left the stadium, and the few of them they were there. It was great to be involved in that game. So yeah, that's probably one of the greatest game ever against Man United.
We will never forget that picture, Pablo. No. And we don't want you to at home either. No. So one more.
Hey! Yes. Get it.
That's it now, please. Pablo. That's the picture every time bad. When it comes up on predictions.
I'm sure we'll be bringing that before the game.
We'll talk more about this tomorrow because we definitely will not be over it. Join us then.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And that will do it for the latest edition of ESPN FC. But we'll be back.
Uh-huh.
We have a very, very, very sensual edition of Extra Time coming up right now with Pablo Sabaleta, which is all I should need to say, and Shaka Hislop as well. Hello and welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Kay Murray and Ali Moreno here in the studio. We have Shaka Hislop and Pablo Sabaleta. And in case you missed the show, you missed a very sensual photo, a very sensual moment when we got to see this wonderful picture of Pablo.
That's bad.
Let me see if I can recreate this.
Where did you get that picture from, guys?
Hey, Shaq, you like this shot?
You just need a rip in the jeans now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Goodness. I don't have the rip in the jeans. You're right, Shaq.
That's my bad.
Let me tell you something.
Yes.
Oh, goodness me.
Work that camera. Work it, Pablo. Work it.
Wait, what's the story here?
Put that picture again.
Yeah. Yes. 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 TV magic, baby. Oh, that is honestly, Pablo. Pablo,
you can see,
next
you can
level.
See now I got some style, eh? Some style. Yeah. Yeah. Be better.
What's the story behind that picture? Do you even remember it?
There is no story. There cannot be a story.
No chance. I don't know where did you get that picture from?
No, what do you mean? You were working the camera, Pablo. Don't play coy now.
I've never seen it.
Oh.
The devil works hard, but our producers work even harder.
It's like you're looking into my soul, Pablo. You're looking straight into my soul.
Wow.
Ali, how much did you pay to get your Panini sticker? You have a Panini sticker with you on it.
Yes.
How much did you pay for that?
That's $0. Thank you, Panini. Thank you, Panini, for the love and appreciation. I'm not nearly as sexy as Pablo, but hey,
Who can be as sexy as Paulo? Nobody.
Oh, nice. But we got told there was a new system with the Panini stickers, and different coloured stickers mean you might win some monetary prizes.
Yes.
Apparently, having no outline, no border on the sticker means it's absolutely priceless.
Yes, it's one of one.
One of one.
One of one.
And he's got it.
That's it. Only one person in the world has that.
Did you get one, Shaka, with your face on it?
No. I'm hoping for a Pablo Panini sticker.
Yes.
That's the only one I want. I'm not bothered about me. I want a Pablo Zabaleta Panini.
not just Pablo.
Not said boss, you know, that only Pablo.
Sensual Pablo.
Yes.
All right.
Sexy Pablo is the one.
1978 Pablo is what we want.
All right, first question is for Pablo. Basically, explain to a North American why the rivalry with Brazil is so intense for Argentines.
With Brazil, I think it's just about football, nothing else. I always say I hate Brazil and blah, blah, a bit sarcastic, you know, but at the end of the day, I think it's just because every time we play Brazil, we always want to win. That's probably the biggest game in South America. It's always very intense. When we were playing the World Cup in Brazil in 2014, there were a lot of Brazilians at the stadium cheering for the other team. They didn't really want Argentina to win any game. So I think it's just because about football. That's it.
Oh, it's a big rivalry. There's songs about it and everything, Pablo. Mm-hmm. I bet you know all the words as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got better barbecue? Who does a better grill? Argentinians or Brazilians?
No.
That's what I really want.
No. Of course, no. Don't start with this. I think we all know Argentina. Yeah, we do better barbecues.
They
won't fight World Cup. Hey. They are better in football. I know. Barbecue and mate.
Hang on. Brazil have Giselle.
Uh-huh. And Argentina has sexy Pablo. We did it better.
Hey, you're killing me today, guy.
Let's give him a break.
You know who does barbecue better? Yeah. You know who does barbecue better? Sexy Pablo does that barbecue better.
Smoking up Pablo.
Yes. Sizzling Pablo.
All right. What group looks the toughest after this international break? So we're going to show you the groups for the World Cup. And bearing in mind what we've seen over the recent action of international games, which group looks the toughest for you guys right now? So I'll let you have a little look.
Uh-huh.
Does anyone stand out to you, Alec?
Well, the question is related to having seen the internationals in this window, right? Given what we saw from England, given what we saw from the United States of America, I have no idea what happens in this group. We assume that England wins it, but in terms of underwhelming performances, in terms of underwhelming national teams right now going into the World Cup, there are a lot of questions for England, a lot of questions for the United States. I want to suggest Group B is difficult to figure out right now.
Shaka?
Yeah, I think that for all the wrong reasons. Group H also has a group of Portugal. I think that's a tough one to call. And then Group D, even though Tunisia got absolutely tanked by Brazil, I think most countries in the world would. But they're the second highest ranked team coming out of Africa. You know how strongly I feel about Denmark. A lot of expectation around France. And then, as I say, with Group H, no real standout. I don't pick any of those to get to the final or the semi-final. But in terms of parity, that's probably the most even of all eight groups.
Wait a second. Did Shaka just mention every group there is in the World Cup?
True. I mentioned group DNA.
He said A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H.
I mentioned DNA.
Are you happy with your group, Pablo?
Yeah, I would say group H, probably the, yeah, very tight. Portugal, Ghana, Uruguay, very competitive, that group. You don't know. So, yeah, we'll probably see group H the toughest at the moment for me.
All right, Pablo, we have a question for you here. And don't worry, we're going to be kind to you now.
Okay.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Apart from Lionel Messi...
Not about the picture, please. Not about sexy stuff. Not about sexy stuff.
Apart from Leo, who are the leaders in the Argentine national team? So Messi aside, who else?
Probably Javier Mascherano.
Pablo.
He was a true leader. Why are you laughing, Ale? Why are you laughing?
I think that picture's doing things to him. Sorry, Pablo. Could you just repeat again?
Please. No, next time, listen, I will take that picture off and I will put the picture of sexy Sava.
Please! Please!
Well, I don't know.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to concentrate.
No Sava Dava Blue. No Sava Dava Blue.
No, that's him saying Zabba Dabba Blue. Sorry, Pablo.
What? I thought we were going to be nice. Yeah.
We are being nice. You started it.
Okay.
Pablo,
right.
What was
Messi
the question?
Aside. Messi
who
aside, who are the other leaders? Yes.
I say Javier Mascherano. He probably was from my time when I was at the national team. Javier Mascherano probably... he was one of the leaders. He was a captain. No, but now I know only Messi, Otamendi, Di Maria from my generation. You know, some of the new players I never play with, I don't know very well. I think De Paul looks very confident. Every time Messi, get kicked, he always go there and then protect Messi. He looks like a true leader, De Paul. From the current team.
We are really going to give Pablo a breather here.
All right.
Question for Shaka. How, as a goalkeeper, do you feel about yourself playing with a teammate like Harry Maguire, whose sources blamed De Gea for his performance at Manchester United last year during the international break? Everything around Maguire looks really odd and very unprofessional now.
Yeah, I totally agree. So if I'm in De Gea's shoes and I read that sources around Maguire are blaming the goalkeeper, I'll be honest, I don't pay much mind to it. I think people recognize that Harry Maguire is struggling, that he needs, people close to him need somebody to point to, and inevitably it's a goalkeeper. And I've made this point many times, Kay. We goalkeepers are the bedrock of every successful football team. We take on the responsibilities. We accept others' blame in a way that nobody else in the park can. So therefore, it comes with part of being who we are.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Shaq. Appreciate that. If Sexy Pablo wasn't here, I would say something to you, but Sexy Pablo wins today.
Yeah, Sexy Pablo is the winner today.
That's true.
Another one for you, Pablo. For Pablo, at their best, at their peak, start, bench, or sell these Argentina strikers.
Ooh.
Gabriel Batistuta, Sergio Aguero, and Hernan Crespo.
Mm.
So, start, bench, or sell?
Oh, tough one, that. Start Kun Agüero for me. Bench Gabriel Batistuta and sell Crespo. In that order.
Wow.
You guys don't agree with that.
I would start Batigol, bench Agüero, sell Crespo.
Is that all right for you,
Full Pablo? Agreement with Alejandro.
No, that's fair. Yeah, no. Yeah. That's good.
Well, it's Pablo's question, so Pablo's answer is the right one tonight.
Yes, absolutely. Okay? Absolutely, yeah, well, yes. Yes, no, whatever he says. Whatever he says.
All right, Ale, do you think Pulisic is getting off easier with his book quotes than Lukaku did when he gave his interview last season?
Well, not in this show. We've talked about Pulisic quite a lot regarding the book. I would say that because Tuchel is no longer there, then this accusations or whatever quotes were put in this book don't resonate as much as it would if Tuchel were there. And obviously that would be a much more interesting conversation to be having. But now that Thomas Tuchel is gone, then these are quotes that we'll look into it, we'll read into them, we'll talk about them, but then they'll just sort of disappear because, quite frankly, the story's gone once Thomas Tuchel walked out the door.
Pablo,
let's also remember that Lukaku made these comments months after signing for Chelsea for what, 100 million? I just thought everything about it was, I thought while at the time, and I stand by this, I thought Chelsea and Tuchel handled it poorly. The comparison between Lukaku at the time and Pulisic now, added to what Ali just said, that doesn't make it's chalk and cheese for me, the two comparisons.
So if he is getting off easier, he should be getting off easier, basically. Hmm. All right. Pablo, did you like your Man City chant? Can it distract you mid-game if it starts giving you goosebumps? Ali and Shaka, were you fortunate enough to have your own specific chant? So did you like your Man City song, Pablo? Did it ever put you off?
Yeah, it's really nice. Have you heard the song?
What is it?
I think you should sing it.
Go ahead, please.
Sing it, but I've never heard it, Pablo.
Oh, Pablo Zabaleta, he's the f***ing man. He comes from Argentina. He's harder than Chestam. He plays in blue and white for Pellegrini's men. And when we win the league, we'll sing this song again. Oh!
I love that. I love that he did it as well.
Yes.
And that bleeped out the part that
yes.
he should too.
Yes.
I love it, Pablo. Good for you. Did it ever put you off though? Is it always an amazing feeling to hear it?
No, always amazing feeling, of course. Even. Now, sometimes when I go to the Etihad Stadium or even I'm watching the game from home, I still can hear the song. So that's brilliant. Thank you, Man City fans. Love you.
Oh, yeah. So nice. Aww. Did you have your own specific chant, Ale?
It was to the tune of Seven Nation Army.
Ah. I'm sure it was very inventive then. You have to sing it now.
Oh, well, now I feel that, well, it's not nearly as thorough as Sexy Pablo's song, but it's Alejandro Moreno, Alejandro Moreno. And then we go on and on and on until they got bored, essentially. But that was it.
I like Pablo's.
Well, sorry. I mean, hey. You know when the question said that it gave Pablo, whether it gave Pablo goosebumps? I'll tell you what gave me goosebumps today.
Pablo's photograph. Shaka, did you ever have a song?
No.
We should make one up for him, right?
Well.
Go on, sing it.
Shout out to Columbus Crew fans, by the way. They came up with the song. So just like Pablo.
Oh, he's saying thanks. Yeah,
thanks to the Columbus Crew fans.
Shaka.
Ole,
ole, ole, ole.
Guys, you're going to have to take a back seat because I think I have a new favourite extra time guest.
Oh,
Pablo Zabaleta.
Of course. It's a mismatch. Mismatch.
Sorry, guys.
What a great show. What a great
sexy
show.
Pictures.
Thank you.
All right. Last question for Pablo.
Uh-huh. I will find out that picture, where that picture come from. I will find out. I don't know, you probably have some contact at Man City. Photographer or something, I will find out. Because I've never seen that picture.
We've seen it.
Oh, yes,
it's etched into our brains. Pablo, if I'm ever going to travel to Argentina for the first time, what dish should I order and what wine should I drink?
Well, obviously, a big steak, proper Argentina steak, asado, that's for sure. And then wines, Malbec probably is one of the best wines. So that would be brilliant. A good steak with a nice Malbec. Red wine.
Nice.
In there.
And
the
then
table.
Pablo, dressed in ripped jeans.
Yes. Yes. Right there.
Right there. Sitting exactly like that.
Oh, yes. How can you concentrate? How can you focus?
It's back. It's back. Look at that.
Hey. Hey. Our viewers will sleep well tonight. We will leave you with those sweet dreams of sexy Pablo.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for saying.
After that, I will feel I'm too sexy. That's the bomb.
You're too sexy for this show. We're going to have to go. Thank you so much for sending in your questions. Thanks for that wonderful picture.
Hey!
Pablo Zabaleta.
I mean, look at
that
hair.
Look at
that hair.
Soon.
Everything about it.
Everything. Stunning.